just searching to see who's with us on the phone still.
For August 2015, part two.
Quiet, DeLong.
Who is? Lawrence. Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, Lawrence.
And Fred's still with us?
Christine Peterson, CTF.
Hey, Christine.
Lawrence and Christine are on the phone.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, thanks. So, yeah, I want to turn it over to Jim and Fenton. Well, you guys are going to do just kind of a discussion on the comments you received and how they're being addressed.
Yeah, my intent wasn't really to go through them individually or anything. But we provided the Fitzpatrick team with a copy of the 30% report after we had done some additional revisions and some additional formulation work and added a couple of nuances to the different alternatives and provided that to the Fitzpatrick team. I want to thank everybody for providing comments back to us. We've read through the comments and they're very helpful, and we're going to go through and modify the report. What we're planning on doing now is addressing these comments, and what we're planning on doing is we'll make formal responses to each of the individual comments and respond to it, make changes to the report as appropriate, and then be moving on to the 60% report and doing the evaluation and of the alternatives and so on. So that's basically where we're heading.
Okay, great.
That's it.
And
that was quick.
We wanted to find out from you if you wanted to have any of the items that you provided comments on, or any of the comments that you had that we wanted to discuss here in this forum.
I'm good waiting to see you.
Well, I thought maybe you were going to go through some of your, don't you have some new ideas here that we haven't really looked at?
Well, the one idea that we added to this was the bypass channels. This was something that came up during our design charrette that we had back in January. Mm-hmm. And this was an alternative that we hadn't addressed before, and so we wanted to include it as a potential alternative. Whether it makes the final cut is still to be determined in what we evaluate. We were kind of waiting to get comments back from you guys first, and then evaluate those comments and then make a decision on what we're going to use as our final alternatives, and then go through and do that evaluation and then do a ranking and a selection of a recommended plan as we move forward. The 60% report will basically include that evaluation of alternatives. We had a evaluation criteria as part of the 30% report, and so we'll utilize that format in evaluating the alternatives. We will write it all up, and at 60% we will have what we consider to be a proposed recommended plan at that point.
Preferred alternative, basically?
A preferred alternative.
Uh-huh. After you've gone through this analysis. So what about our comment regarding the embedded person who helps work through this analysis?
A couple things. The first one with that is I know our management is aware that, and first Kevin's fully aware of how it's going to be involved at the PDT level. It's been raised up, and I know Kevin is having and had a conversation with Kim regarding that, and it's my understanding that they're going to keep talking about that and come to a decision. And if it's decided that the PDT is now including others, we'll just move forward with that. So we're just right now, it's just kind of pending their decision. It's out of our control at this point.
Because that was actually higher than the Kim level. That was something that Will came up with in our internal in the discussions that we had.
No, with the general.
With the general.
Yeah. He came up with the term embedded.
So I think what happened is it came back down, I think, to Kevin and Kim to work out based on that conversation.
Okay.
It's my understanding they're still working through that. And as I said, we'll just have to run with what decision's made.
Well, I'm just thinking about the timeliness, though. So you guys, what's your timeframe on when you're going to get to your 60%?
We are planning on getting up to the 60% sometime in early September.
Okay, well, I guess...
If you want, I can talk to Kevin about this, and if this is an urgency...
the urgency is we don't want to hold you guys up. You're trying to get your work done, and we appreciate that. It seems like you might, maybe Kevin and Kim are supposed to meet this week, I think. Maybe they can specifically say, is there any problem inviting a couple engineers to sit with the PDT when they do this evaluation of alternatives?
Yeah, so we might.
For this specific one, give it a try, see how it works, and then let Kevin and Kim talk about it in a couple months.
I'll give Kevin another heads up, though, so it just doesn't fall off his radar. He's got a lot going on, so I just want to make sure if they are planning on meeting, we'll bring that up.
Okay.
The other thing just I wanted to bring up, too, is I did see some of the comments related to screening, and I know that one of our proposals was looking at this canal screening, and just to be clear, I think that, you know, the intent was is that we had to dig four in the biop, so we had, you know, lookout point, we had Cougar downstream passage, you know, we had the middle four.
But this is a different beast. This could have a very different price tag on it, and if you don't look at it, you could throw it out just based on your assumptions and your underlying, you know, thoughts on what you think it's going to cost.
Right, but
this is a very different structure.
I'm just thinking it's the timeline we're on right now. I think it would be best for us to proceed as the biop set, look at these weir changes, look at the ops changes. If that doesn't hit the mark later down the line, I think we should take the cost-effective approach first before we leak anything. And also, it's time to look at the biologist. But it's my understanding we're at or above replacement right now. And you think of the biological benefit possibly of a larger, potentially $100 million structure, these still aren't cheap.
I don't want, you know, that's the thing is you're assuming, you're making big assumptions about it being a $100 million structure. And I think that's unfortunate. These structures are coming in much lower than this and then in other projects. And so my point is why would you not look at it? Why would you not just see?
Well, in my opinion, we're literally falling with the biop set. If it said we had to look at a larger configuration change, which that I would call a configuration change, the facility on a pretty large scale, that had to be looked at on the top and the whole context of the whole basin and what we're trying to do with implementing the biop, and I don't think we're there yet. I really think that we're looking at a cost-effective fix. I mean, these systems tend to work on the Columbia with topsoil weirs. This is a fairly flat pool. Doesn't have the fluctuations like others, so I think, you know, this could be an approach that could work there. And we're not saying that we wouldn't go back and revisit if things didn't work.
Yeah. We just didn't want to have you go ahead and spend money on something before you looked at something that, you know, may not, it should provide some improvement. You know, we recognize that, but whether it, you know, there might be... Don't want to have to spend money on something that you later regret. I mean, it kind of is like the Fall Creek thing I was talking about. If you really, you know, if ultimately you want a juvenile bypass at that facility, you know, it'd be great if the thing you're building right now could provide that.
And I just don't understand why you wouldn't look at the range of alternatives.
Well, I think we somewhat have within the context of what we were supposed to do, and, you know, looking at the weir and the operation.
We may have to agree to disagree.
Okay. Well, the other thing, too, is, I mean, we, as we schedule this manager's forum, if this is something, you know, because I think the team should keep moving. We don't want to delay things. Mm-hmm. But if this is something that's important and it's for us to look at, we can always bring this up at the manager's forum.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's good resource alternative development. That's all I think it is. I think it's responsible to do that. And so we'll have to agree to disagree.
Okay.
Well, we have through the COP, and I know this team has that information as well. You mentioned costs. We're aware of the cost of the facilities in the region. We also are aware of the success we had, as you mentioned, on the Columbia. This dam is much more analogous to those projects, and that's why we think it's a cost-effective approach to look at the spillway and the spill weir. And the surface collection facilities are going to be much more, based on our experience so far.
I think my comment really was that it was an incomplete list.
Yeah, but like I say, we kind of already found that that's not going to be on the cost-effective list.
We ultimately have different points of view here, and so we'll have to agree to disagree, but my comment still stands. I'm not going to retract it.
Yeah, just at this point, I think, you know, it's our position to move forward on this, but as I said, if you want to bring this up, we can raise it up to management level and see if it's something that we should stop, slow down, look at, and
I still think that you have a range of alternatives on the table.
You look down at the block that we...
I was going to say, they have looked at their alternatives. That's a fair comment.
No, we have. And again, it was based on what we thought we interpreted with the property selling to do here, was to look at those operations and rear modifications.
Are there concerns right now with the alternatives that are on the table and not meeting what you expect?
Oh, well,
I think we had some detailed comments. I don't have them in front of me.
I think what we said in previous comments was we don't have the data yet to know whether, I mean, it may be that just operating the spillway may get you what you need and that you don't need to even, you know, modify the weir so much. And that's, you know, it's unfortunate. We didn't have good flows this year, so we couldn't do that test that you've been trying to do.
So, yeah, we're still collecting the R&E data, but the data that we have from last year and from ODFW and from PNNL is... fingers are pointing to an operational or a structural change, or both, a combo. Operational means just operate a spillway, forget the old fish weir business. But then we're looking at the amount of water available in the South San Yam and our Res Sim and models. And, you know, there's only so much water in that little reservoir. So we're looking at, you know, the fish passage data so far is fingers are pointing to a structural fix, which is a new and improved fish weir that is cost effective, and operating the spillway, the other spillways, when water is available during that fish passage season.
Oh, so, Walnut Valley, Lookout Point, Elizabeth, and Todd
has left the conference.
I love
Walnut Valley.
Yeah. So those are the what the fingers are pointing to right now, that are the cost-effective way of improving downstream fish pasture with what our PDT was chartered with. As Ian was saying, if we're going to start going beyond what we're originally chartered with, it has to go up the chain to the upper management to make that. Because, you know, if we start going beyond outside of our scope of...
I'm not arguing with you anymore. I mean, I'm just saying my comment still stands, and I want it in the record. So that's why
I was just explaining that our data we're collecting right now is pointing to the structural or alternative fix.
But you mean structural?
Fish weir.
Fish weir.
Yes.
And you guys know you learn how to capture velocity on the weir crest when you see fish hanging out right over the weir crest. You know, the shape doesn't provide a good acceleration. So there's things that they know. They've got a really limited operational window.
Correct, yes. The weir right now has a limited operational window with limited flows.
It's tough for O&M wise for them to manage. And there's a lot of things with existing where they know they can improve.
You know, the other thing, and I know it's been brought up when we got Christine on the phone, and I talked to Dan Spear at the BPA about this, is possibly turbine operations too. Is there a time period where we can defer the turbine units?
Well, yeah, that's what we've been saying.
That was a test,
so it's, to get that test.
What we're looking at is different, you know, operations plus weir mods, and maybe that could be the sweet mark on this. We don't know.
I mean, we're all hopeful for that, too. Yeah. It's like we don't want to make you have to build some huge. And I understand it's not one of the big four, but we're trying to look, you know, we're already at 2015, and the buyout expires 2023, so... you know, trying to look at what the long-term solution is for all these projects and think a little forward. So if the data, the biological data, says you can get really good passage with, you know, a spill weir, that's great. That's great. But I think what we call really good passage is different than what
it's
you guys
often
are looking
different.
At. Yeah.
It's more often than not different.
Well, we're doing the field work that will continue this next year. We hope to get the spill treatments accomplished. And so that data, which will inform finalizing the decision path, I don't know what the time frame is to complete the current.
Once you're saying, is there in the 60% EVR you're going to come up with starting narrowly on the other end?
Yeah, the 60% should have.
Narrow, but for a few ways to get next year's field work in before it would be finalized?
Well, we can finish the report and have a preferred alternative based on the evidence and information that we have. Just a matter of how soon we want to act upon that recommendation and start moving forward with a DDR and plan for specs on that particular alternative. And if it's deemed to be wise to hold off on moving forward with that because we're waiting for additional data that might lead us in a different direction, then that's a management kind of decision on how we proceed forward. So this is in no way committing us to this is what we're going to do. This is we're finishing what we were originally tasked to do, which was take a look at this, come up with a recommendation.
It'd be nice if you could put that in that record, saying, you know, this is at this point what we're choosing as a preferred alternative, given that we know that the field work and the study is going on. It's just nice because.
And we just got it in the record back there.
But I need it in the record 60%. When you come out with your preferred alternative, you'll discuss the merits of your alternative, and it would be good to caveat that and say, you know, potentially that this could change given what we might learn. And I like those sorts of records because they're clean and then it leaves it to the next people.
And in the 60% that is scheduled to come up in September, we will have we'll have the first year of the data, the hydroacoustics data, and then we'll have preliminary data. Again, it is due to send us a report on this past spring study. So we'll have some of that data to inform the 60% where we are to date.
So anyway, we're hoping to have a 60% completed by early September and then get that to you so you can and review that and provide comment at that stage also. And I don't know if there's an end of September meeting planned yet or not.
Fish passage, Sam?
Yeah.
It'd be the first Tuesday in October. Not the end of September, it'd be October. Your next regularly scheduled meeting.
So what we can aim to do is to make sure we get that 60% report completed in sufficient time for you to take a look at it prior to the next early October fish passage meeting so you can have further conversation.
Thank you.
Sorry it didn't rain this year for you, Tim.
Hmm?
Yeah. Sorry it didn't rain for you this year.
Hey, you know what? We're collecting data on what if this is how the new world is going to be.
Yeah. Global warming.
Yeah, what if, so, you know, the researchers are collecting the data and we're looking at to see if there was a difference from previous years. You know, Fred is still out there netting, well, trying to net whatever he can net and tag. And we couldn't even operate the weir this summer because the flows were so low. So we had to turn the weir off.
The flows were too low before they... Reservoir elevation was below that?
Well, it was how much water they could put through the turbine to maintain downstream flows. So they were down to 700 CFS, and they were close to cavitation of the turbines. We're trying to still pass the 200 CFS of the weir, so we have to
run. You can't operate the turbines left, yeah. 500.
And you can't open the spillway gates that
right.
level, because the number of spillway gate is greater than these.
So in the future, if you were going to look at outages, would you then... You know, would you then maintain reservoir elevation as a preference versus the turbine so that you could spill, do a top spill? What would you do?
Outage for fish
like
passage?
If you were going to shut down the turbines, what would
right.
you maintain the reservoir elevation?
Yeah, so we would turn the turbines off, and that's part one of our operational alternative, and we did the rest of the model, still got fitted with BPA. But if we, say, let's say in the winter months, when during the peak migration period, the fall through early spring, yeah, maybe turn a turbine off and use that water and open up a spillway. Because we have more water in the fall and winter than we are in the summertime. And in the summertime, maybe if we find fish passages high in the summer, then maybe we sacrifice power and use that water for the spillway. But the reason we have to turn the weir off right now is the turbines were close to cavitation, so we needed that extra 200 CFS.
Or you have to continue to drive.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Back to the canal alternative. Do you have biological information that kind of led
no.
you to
this
come up with that?
This was part of the design charrette. It's one of those, you know, throw out different ideas. And given that the juveniles kind of come down the sides, and if we could kind of collect them before they passed in front of the turf, that was the thought.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't have any data that says that would work, but it's something that we hadn't included in any of our thought processes before, so we kind of included in this just as...
So
as
So it'd be like building a little slume, I mean, like...
Yeah, how would we, the collector is where we would have the biggest problem. How do we design or construct an intake that would be effective in drawing fish in at varying elevations? Some of these, I don't know, somebody said that there was one of these similar on another project.
They're building something similar to that Cleo Dam, but they haven't started yet. I think they just finished their design.
That's what did they do for the collector?
I don't know. Leslie, she's actually screen. Coming to present at AFS, so I'm excited. She's going to present in my session.
You aren't going to be allowed to go. I don't know if you've heard that.
No.
So
well, I'll share it. No, I'll have a presentation, so I'll share it.
We may actually get audited
really?
By the Department of Commerce because so many people ask to go that they're suspicious.
There must be a party.
Don't put that in the
Where is it at?
Yeah.
National. AFS is in Portland, so
yeah.
It's cheap for a lot of us.
I know, it's right here in our backyard.
We couldn't do the early registration or anything.
And we still, we may not be able to go.
Because there's a lot of people outside of our own building, you know. All of NIMS nationwide has to all get put into group travel.
Yeah, but I mean, the federal agencies that are deciding and building things can't go to the conferences where we want
that
to.
We are supporting it.
Please don't type this. Okay.
But one of the issues with that collector is how do you get that water downstream?
Right. And so this is one of those alternatives that got put in that design meeting that Jim just talked about, but we didn't bring it forward to where we are now. Where we are right now are the operational and structural modifications. And structural meaning fish weir. Operational meaning operate a spillway and may or may not generate power. And again, if we can get the data of the treatments that we talked about with the power around playing musical powers, that would be really good.
That would really help.
This past spring, we did play musical turbines and spillways, but what we don't get is both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that too. Yeah, the dual canal thing kind of reminds me of the Lake River up in Plymouth Falls, where you've got the two separate canals that are going, you know, on
the
side.
But they're each 500 or 1,000 CFS.
Right. But just conceptually, I think, yeah, the same thing is, you know, it's a low head system there, and you see that a lot of times with these smaller utilities with low head diversions. We just have a little power canal coming off, and I think this would be two canals coming off that instead of power would be fish and water. Right? You always put a house unit on it.
Nice.
Pardon? Put a house unit on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Did you hear about what they were building in Seattle? It's a hill called.
I got to take it. Yeah. I left Yakima probably 10 years ago.
No, the lady from DOR, her name is Natalie Hanna. I'll get her presentation because she's presenting in my session.
Okay.
Because I'm interested in what they're doing.
So
and but some helical, again, I'm.
Oh, the still, helical thing.
Yeah, the helical thing.
To get the water downstream.
On the fish.
But where are they? Right.
So they're going to have two intakes in Cleo.